Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of sinners, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no salvation apart from Christ, and there is no loss of salvation in Him. So if you are in Christ, He is the one who holds you. And as the gospel according to John chapter 3, verse 16 says, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have, notice, everlasting life. The Lord gives to us eternal life. The life does not end. There is nothing you can, eternal life does not stop. So when you receive Christ, you received eternal life. You received eternal life. Again, I bring this up. If what you received does not last for an eternity, it was not the salvation of God. If you trusted Christ, you received eternal life. And what you have is of God, and it will last for all eternity. It will never stop. It will never cease to be. The Lord gives to you eternal life. And that salvation is in Christ. And Christ Jesus arose from the dead. He died once on the cross, and He has ascended on high. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercessions for us. And to know Him is to have life eternal. It is a gift. To receive Christ is to receive God's gift. Now, let's indeed speak a word to the people of the Lord as you find yourself going through valleys, deep valleys, and wondering what to do. Now, the Lord would have us to be reminded of this, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Think of Joseph, far away from his own brethren, from his own homeland, falsely accused, but he had a vision of the Lord. He had a knowledge of the holiness of God, and this kept him on the right path. Now, you and I must be mindful of this when we go through life, that the Lord has placed us on a path. He knew what was on this same path. When we started out, the sun might have been shining. There may have been a crowd to have sent us on our way, saying, "Hip, hip, hoorah, go ahead, you are doing a great thing." And then as you walk that same path, started going around, became a winding road, a very hilly road, a road with many obstacles on it, and you wonder, am I on the right road? Well, you started off serving the Lord, didn't you? You started off believing Him, didn't you? You started off trusting in His word, didn't you? Now, He gave you peace then, and as you kept putting one foot in front of the other, and you see where it's brought you to, don't doubt the Lord. This truth came home to me many years ago when I was traveling back from North Carolina after having held some meetings there. And I saw the highway, across the highway that I was traveling on, and I found out that this same road would take me to the same, bring me back home, but a bit further down from home. And I was many miles, and it was a winding road through the country. It was not an interstate road highway at all. But that thought to me was, you know, I can get on this road and travel it, go through new cities, go a different direction, and wind up near a home. And it was a road, just a road along the way. Didn't look like anything like it did at the other end of it, where I was. And so there are many things in life like that. You start off, but there is only one way to heaven, by the way. Just one way, and that way is Christ. But there are many times that we start out, the road seems to be smooth, and then as you travel on, it gets rough. But you're doing what's right. Just keep walking. Keep trusting the Lord. He'll never leave you. Father, we do ask for the blessings of the Lord upon today's message, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's continue looking in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, as one writer says, Genesis is the book of life, Exodus, the book of redemption. But Leviticus is the book of sanctification. And to be sanctified means to be separated unto God, away from the world while we're in the world. Now, there is no way for us to come out of the world and to say that we're no longer a part of the world. We're not a part of the world system. We have a citizenship that is in heaven, and we are no longer citizens of this world, but we are still in Caesar's domain. And so, having been or still being in Caesar's domain, we must still abide by the rules and the regulations that Caesar has, except when Caesar's rules and regulations would put us on a collision course with the will of God and with the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is clearly given, and it's set before us. And we are to be a different people, set apart from the world for the Lord. And so, notice this, that Leviticus is a book that deals with the holiness of God. And that is the word that is primary through the book of Leviticus. Holiness, that theme keeps coming up. And the word means pertaining to Levites. So the book deals with the system of the priesthood, those who are called of God to labor about and to minister in those sacrifices that represented the holiness of God and the approach unto the Lord. And this is something that was done in the wilderness. Now, that again has a message in it, and we'll be saying more about that as the program in this, as the series goes on. Now, the Levites came from the tribe of Judah. Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he is going to be one out of whom will come the high priest. Levi, or the Levites, Leviticus, pertaining to the Levites, these who had come over to the side when Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" After these came down after Moses came down from the Holy Mount. Also, Levi was one who was involved in dealing with the ones who had mistreated his sister back in the book of Genesis around 36 or so, 37. And he was very in the brutal murder. But Levi will be the tribe out of which the high priest will come. And also concerning this matter of the sanctification, you'll see that starting with verse 1, "The Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation." So the Lord is not in the world. He is in the tabernacle. He calls Moses unto himself there, telling Moses how to instruct the people, and they are instructed on how to live. "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring an offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock." Now, remember how this offering, or how this herd, or these herds were brought unto the people of Israel? The night that the Passover occurred, when the children of Israel left Egypt, not a dog's tongue wagged against the people. They were able to leave with God's full approval as they left the world. You know, a person who wants to do God's will, the Lord will help you He'll bring you out of the bondage. If you fully want to give yourself to Him, He will bring you out of bondage and bring you to a place of great liberty in Himself. He will bring you to a place of victory as only He can. "If His offering," verse 3, "be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." So the people had an understanding of how important this offering unto the Lord was. they had a knowledge and the experience of seeing what happened when they left Egypt. When the Lord gave to them these herds, when the Lord told them to sprinkle the blood or put the blood over the doorpost and on the side post of the door, and when he saw the blood, they knew the safety of it. And so they see the importance of this sacrifice, if they will think back. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And here the transfer of one's sin presented here. The Lord is the one who took our sins unto himself. He had no sins. The animal that was offered had not sinned. But the sin, the guilty one, was transferred. The guilt of the guilty one was transferred in type by this hand being placed on the bullock. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priest. Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar, that is, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But the inwards and the legs he shall wash in water, and the priest shall offer all the altar, all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice on offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now in these first five chapters, we'll see the various offerings. There is the burnt offerings of bullocks, rams, goats, doves, and pigeons, and they were to be burned completely, that this was to be one dedicated unto the Lord, and you are surrendering your will unto him. Also, there's the meal offering. Now, this was done, for example, the meal offering came from plants, and the burnt offering came from animals. But the meal offering of grain, flours, cake, and these were to be offered without leaven, which is a type of sin. And this was, a handful of it was to be burned. The rest of this was to be used for the priests. See how the Lord took care of those who were serving him. A third type of offering was the peace offering. Now the peace offering again indicates that there was to be some animal that died, such as a cow or a young calf, rather, cattle, sheep, or goats. And the fat of these animals was to be burned. And this fat that was thrown into the fire caused the other to ignite rather freely. The fire would burn better when there is the fat of the animal. And the rest of this that was offered was to be eaten partly by the priest and partly by the offerers. If you will recall in 1 Samuel, when Eli's sons came, they were taking a portion of the offering the way they wanted to take it. They were not doing things the way the Lord wanted. They were profaning this offering unto the Lord. And the Lord would see this and tell Eli that Eli's sons were doing wrong. Our time is gone on this, and we'll pick up on the next program looking at the offerings in the book of Leviticus. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask for thy blessings upon us, Lord. We pray thee to help to use the message to strengthen, we ask, and help us to be faithful in understanding how the Lord our God has done all that is required for us to be fit in his sight. For Jesus' sake, amen.